That is why it is said that if you put Shruti, Shruti means a revelation in regard to that which cannot be easily seen by physical eyes. If Shruti is given to an individual, and if the individual is of the right kind of seeker, then he cannot rest until Shruti becomes Pratyaksha Avagamam, unless it becomes a direct perception, direct knowledge. So from Shruti to Sakshatkara, this is the step which is proposed in Indian thought. You start with Shruti, and Sri Krishna says, I am telling you what is the highest knowledge, and you are allowed to ask questions, but ask questions with a sincerity. Now that sincerity is also called in Indian terminology Shraddha. This word Shraddha is very often misunderstood. Shraddha very often means acceptance without questioning. When I say I have Shraddha in what he says, therefore I don't question. Shraddha also means to rest in the belief without question. There is also another meaning. To accept without questioning is one. Second is to rest in that belief without questioning. It is one thing to accept when somebody says such and such is the reality. For the time being, you don't raise any question. That is one state. Another is a further state in which you say, I will never raise a question. I accept it forever to rest without questioning. That is also how Shraddha is meant. This is also a meaning of Shraddha. Now, this is not the sense in which the Bhagavad Gita uses the word Shraddha. What is Shraddha? Because this is the third verse speaks of Shraddha. And it says, Ashraddhanah purushah dharmasya asya parantapa aprapya mam nivartante mrityu sansara vartmani. Those who are ashraddhanah, those who do not have the faith, they once again return to mrityu sansara vartmani. Vartmani means the path. They arrive at the path of mrityu sansara, of the death and of the wheel of the cycle of the world. Aprapyamam, they never reach me. Nivartante, without reaching me, they come back. Why is this statement made here? Immediately after saying Pratyaksha Avagamam, what I am telling you can be realized directly by your experience. But at the moment, this statement will be only intellectual statement. Therefore, there is a process between present intellectual statement and the Pratyaksha. In the middle, there is a process of Shraddha. And if you don't have the Shraddha at all, then forget about it. You are sure that you will never reach me. Between the intellectual statement and the direct experience, the middle part consists of Shraddha. And if you do not take to the path of Shraddha, then you will remain where you are and you will return again to where you are. But by Shraddha is not meant acceptance without questioning, or to rest in the acceptance without questioning. Because Sri Krishna has already spoken of Pariprasthena Sevaya, already has spoken of it. So he doesn't say that you should not question. What is this Shraddha? What is Shraddha is of course explained by Shri Krishna towards the end of the whole book. And as I have said often, the Bhagavad Gita is to be read as a whole. It's a very holistic teaching. Therefore, we can anticipate what is said of Shraddha later on, and we can supply the meaning of Shraddha over here. By Shraddha is meant a living perception. A living perception of a truth. To perceive a truth as truth, therefore there is an element of belief. Perception of truth as truth means belief. But the word belief I do not normally use, because belief normally means belief without questioning, or belief for the sake of belief. So to make a distinction between belief and what I mean, I use the word perception. A truth which is perceived as truth, but not yet realized as truth. There is a distinction between perceiving a truth as truth and not yet realized as truth. Shraddha is a state in which you perceive a truth. You have as yet no ground to perceive it, and yet you perceive it. This is the state to which Sri Krishna makes a reference. You perceive as a truth, as yet not realized. And yet you perceive it. There is a perception. It is a kind of intuition, or there are many kinds of intuition. But this is one kind of intuition. There is intuition also in which its realization is also intuition. This is an intuition which is not yet arrived at a stage of realization. There are many levels of intuitions. For example, instinct also is an intuition. When you see instinctively, you feel, oh, something is wrong. Instinctively, and ultimately you find, yes, that there was a reason why you felt there was wrong. So even instinctively also you feel that there is something which you believe in, you act on it, and ultimately you find that your action was on the right lines. Like, you want to ride on the horse. You mount on the horse. You spur the horse. The horse does not move. You spur again, and the horse rears up, but does not move forward. It is said in the villages who are very much acquainted with the movements of the horses, do not force the horse any further. The horse instinctively feels that this is not the moment to run. And there are many examples to show that when this has happened, there was a storm ahead, which the horse feels here, and therefore refuses to run. It is both protection for yourself and for the horse itself. Now, this happens by instinct. The horse instinctively feels that there is a danger, and therefore it doesn't move forward. This is the stage the horse, you cannot say as an intuition, it is instinctively felt. You are hungry. How do you know that only food can satisfy you? It is instinctive knowledge that only food can satisfy you. If you are very hungry, and you go to a place of a lecture or something, which is very nice lecture going on, but if you are very hungry, you will first go to the kitchen. If you are very hungry, instinctively you will rush to that. So there is an instinctive knowledge what I need now is not the lecture but the food. After the food comes everything else. Now who tells you this? It is instinct.